The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And welcome back. Lance's dad's going to join us at 8:20 here on ESPN 97.5. So you like to hear the coach talk about the technical stuff.
He's got some X's and O's. Yeah, he's got some insight into why J.J. Watt went off.
Yeah. I'm going to guess slide protection.
Part of it is, well, if some of that insight is, well, Chad Wheeler's one of the worst tackles you're going to see in the game.
Really?
That's one.
Okay, would you trade Julian Davenport right now for Chad Wheeler?
No.
I might.
Wheeler stinks.
Really? Because Wheeler didn't have 12 penalties against
Wheeler
him.
Physically can't slide out. And handle edge speed like that's neither one. But
well,
I mean, I'll just
JJ
I'll
was you. Quick off the ball. Now.
You know what? By the way, you know who's thankful sitting there like, oh, thank God it's Davenport getting all the hell for the false starts. I confirm this. There's been two of them. Nick Martin should have been called for that one that was down there in the red zone.
Well, he did get
he
called
didn't
for
snap.
One. He did
got
get called
for one.
Right.
The second one too. I've heard this has happened three times with him this year, and he's only been called once. The second one, you saw Deshaun move at the same time. If your quarterback moves at the same time your right tackle moves, then that's the center's not snapping
it. Right. And Davenport went, what the bleep?
And on the broadcast, you can hear Seth Hutt, and he just doesn't, for whatever reason, Nick Martin doesn't snap it.
No. All right, let's get some calls in here. Different guys here on the line, too. Let's get Chris here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Chris?
What's up, man?
How you doing,
I know that we're not that Bill O'Brien's not going to get fired. Everybody keeps claiming for it, but we know it's not going to happen. But what do y'all think about Tony Romo coming in as the offensive coordinator? When he's on the broadcast, he can read defenses, he calls plays, he anticipates stuff. What do y'all think about him as an option for offensive coordinator?
Well, they'd have to pay him about – they'd have to bump his salary of from offensive coordinator to match his football – his television salary about $3 million more a year. So, no. Tony Romo isn't going anywhere as a play caller. And you know what? There's a big difference between stepping up and reading the defense like he did as a quarterback and playing and calling a play that anticipates what a defense is going to do before you get to see their alignment. Tony's telling you what's happening at the line of scrimmage after he sees all the alignments for both teams.
That said, that doesn't mean he can't call plays, though.
It doesn't mean he can't call plays, but the idea that he would
leave a cushion. His understanding of the game is tremendous, though.
No, there's no question.
And he might be able to, he might be able to.
He's getting free money doing TV.
Oh, no. I'm not saying he
don't
would
give people
do it.
Hope.
I didn't say he would do it. And I hear Tony, what about Tony Romo for head coach? What about Tony? He's got a really nice gig. You notice that it took a while for Gruden to get out of the booth, and Gruden was a head coach before. No, I don't think Tony Romo's going anywhere quick. Tony Romo loves to play golf. And during the week, he plays golf, and then he sits with Jim Nantz and watches football games on the weekend.
He's got a pretty good deal.
It's not too bad. It's my dream. Ryan is next here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. Doing great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I just want to weigh in on the Bill O'Brien. As far as the fans, you know, what do they think or what do they think he does for us? They think it's bad now. I mean, you know, when Deshaun Watson says, you know, if you get off the wagon, don't plan on getting back on. Well, you're about to lose a whole fan. I mean, a lot of fans here, if they continue losing, like, they're just playing like garbage, you know. And, you know, Davenport, speaking of Davenport, you know, he almost lost us a touchdown there when we had a chance to score. I mean, how many yards did he cost us? And almost a touchdown. So, I mean, they need to get it together. They're playing like trash. And Bill O'Brien, I mean, you know, not to mention, he can't say anything that we haven't heard.
That's true. Bill O'Brien was asked, by the way, he was asked about Jalen Davenport, and he was not super complimentary, as you can imagine.
No, he said he's got to get better.
He said, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that spot or look at him or something like that. To the extent,
well, he did say we look at every spot.
Yeah, no, but he mentioned him specifically.
Well, he was asked specifically.
Yeah.
And he didn't sugarcoat it. No, he's got to play better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guess what?
I'm telling you,
we're all looking at the same thing.
It's going to be Kendall Lamb time. Sooner rather than later, you are going to see Kendall Lamb.
Well, when was Deshaun Watson actually good?
Well, but I don't think it's because of Kendall Lamb.
And that says you. But all I know is when Kendall Lamb.
No, give Kendall Lamb a shot. Look.
Actually, Kendall Lamb was his left tackle.
Kendall Lamb has NFL experience. Jalen Davenport right now is getting his feet crossed up. He's getting knocked down. Like, he's not keeping a wide base. His mistakes are so bad that he's getting thrown to the ground. Give Lamb knows his deficiencies are strength. He already knows that. So work around it. But if Lamb needs to get a shot, don't be crying about Kendall Lamb coming in and crying about Davenport. They don't have anything left. They got a left guard playing left tackle. They got a swing tackle who shouldn't be starting at right tackle, and they got a backup in Kendall Lamb, who probably needs to get starters reps just to see what happens. They don't have real starting tackles on this team.
No,
they don't have real starting tackles on this team. The best tackle was hurt for the year in game one, and that was a guy who had played 7 games the last 2 years.
And that was their best tackle.
That was their best one.
That was their best one. And I'm hoping Martinez gets better as he gets more time.
I think
you got to give him a little bit of time.
No, I just think there's a physical deficiency that won't allow him to handle edge rushers. And it's nothing about him I don't think he's a bad player.
The good news is
Deshaun hangs on to
that you're
going to
get a high draft pick, and you're going to get your left tackle for years and years to come.
I think that should probably be the mode, and then move Rankins inside to guard or center. Give him reps against Nick Martin and tell him, Nick Martin, hey, big boy, you got to earn your spot. For some reason, people in Houston think Nick Martin is playing really well.
Because he was a second-round pick.
It's a default thing. He's not.
Second-round pick.
This whole Nick Martin's a really good player thing, that's incorrect. So stop saying it. Don't say it. Just randomly just to say it to make yourself feel better. He should be competing for his job right now.
I thought Greg Mance did an excellent job last year.
That's what I'm saying.
In his place.
Let Nick Martin compete
and
for a job.
I didn't mind at all that Greg Mance had to come in last game. Greg Mance is a good player. Charles is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Charles?
John and Lance, good morning, guys.
How are you, pal?
Hey, listen, I wanted to just kind of make an observation, right? Besides the X's and O's, my wife and I have been season ticket holders since 2003. And we sit in the 130s. We sit in 134 to be exact. And I really can't recall another season when the folks that sit around me, you know, you get a relationship with these folks after you've been suffering for so many years. But there is a really palatable sense that people are fed up with this organization, right? Besides the product on the field, all the mess last season with McNair, then for whatever reason, I mean, the food service was absolutely abhorrent, this weekend. Not necessarily the food itself. It's never really good, but the service was absolutely awful. And people are starting to get a feeling that this organization is really taking us for granted, right? That they really don't care about improving the product. It's just all about turning over the dollars. And I just kind of sat back and kind of took the temperature of everybody. All our friends that sit around us, and everybody is pissed, man. I mean, nobody, you know, our section, by being by the visitor's tunnel, always has a lot of visiting fans. But I have never seen on an opening day since 2003 so many visiting fans on opening day. You know, I would, if I was the McNair's, I would really take a long look at my business practice, you know, how I run my organization, because when you get the people who support you year in and year out to kind of turn on you, You know, folks are talking about, hey, man, you know, we could get 16 grand for these PSLs, right? You know, and when those kind of conversations are starting to be had, when you start to lose your fan base, not the folks who sit at home and call in, you know, radio stations and bitch and moan. I'm talking about the folks who spend money at the stadium. When you start to lose them, then something's really wrong with the organization. And I really hope these guys, you know, will take a temperature of what's going on in the stadium, because their work product is suboptimal.
Well, that was well said. That is
all of that is perfect.
Well, but here's the thing about that. And while you're saying all of that, I firmly believe that the McNairs are perched on their mountain and their castle, and they it's all happening below them.
Let them be.
And it's not like they're saying let them eat cake, but they're saying all is what they're what's his name, Kevin Bacon. All is well. All is well. Nothing to worry about here. All is well.
You know, the Rockets had that attitude after winning a championship, and then went it sideways, and they tried to get a stadium. They didn't win the stadium vote initially, and they're like, oh, and they got humbled as an organization.
Well, but I'll tell you this.
And it helped.
We've never seen as little interest in the Houston Texans as this year. Well, but the McNairs don't know that.
But you had
because
huge...
everyone around them, every time they see... Every single person around them, it's always, oh, Texans, oh, Mr. McNair, oh, Jamie, oh, it's all about the Texans. They're oblivious to this. They're oblivious.
They're completely oblivious.
Because the stadium is sold out, the waiting list is, the goal of the Texans to be putting out get on the waiting list right now is unbelievable, but that's the Texans. And they don't realize that this is happening.
Well, you could have made a lot of money off your Giants tickets. That was the home opener, right?
Yeah, I couldn't sell them.
Yeah. Uncle Freddie is like...
But the McNair sold those.
Uncle Freddie's like, he goes, this is the worst. He said, I couldn't give these Giants tickets away.
I asked three people, do you want to go to the game? And I finally got somebody that wanted to go.
This is a home
to give them away.
Opener. The McNair
sold all their tickets. This is not... They sold theirs.
No,
we can't, but they sold theirs.
This is... But that's what I'm saying. They're insulated from the truth.
Yes.
The truth is, and I brought this up, you can keep being insulated from the truth, but you're going to start losing market share, and you can keep selling out, but let me tell you what, you will have no buzz in this city, and you will start to lose the Sebastian and Alec and Mason Zerlines. Because let me tell you something, they've got great memories of Rocket stuff and games they've been to and staying up late to watch playoffs and all that stuff. They've got great memories of Astros, going to games, of watching playoff baseball and all that. They don't have any Texans memories. There's not defining moments. What are defining moments? Sebastian, I could ask him about, remember that time you stayed up until midnight watching game 5 of all this? Remember, Alec, when we were watching the Clippers game against when the Rockets pulled off game 6 and then we went to game 7? There's nothing like that for the Texans. And when you lose generations, you don't know it now, but it is going to hurt you in the future. When a 15-year-old doesn't get a flying flip about your team, because he has no interest, he's not invested in them.
Here's the realization of it, though. Just like the Rockets went through their doldrums, the Astros went through their doldrums, the Texans are going through their doldrums, and they'll bounce back someday, somehow, some way.
Right.
And then they'll get the fan base back.
But they need to be humble.
No, but they
even food service. We got a guy who's in the stadium telling you, that's a real bad one. When you have a thing like a food service issue,
yes.
And they're talking about, we already knew the product was bad on the field.
No, the food is crap. Food's crap. Unless you get into one of the really nice suites. They do a nice job in there.
So we know he's not a fancy, man of people.
Fancy job. Listen to this tweet. Did Granato just say he wishes he could play golf all week and then get paid to watch football on a weekend?
You do that.
Oh, shoot, I forgot.
I forgot about your job.
816
ESPN. Sounds like your job.
97.5, time to talk about champion energy and being a champion, and that's the key here. Be a champion. What I need you to do is please, please, please go to 1560energy.com. Stop paying more. It's ridiculous. Like I said last week, a buddy texted me, look at my bill. I was like, what? What are you doing? What is wrong with you? Why would you pay that much money? I know how big your house is. I know how much you should be paying a month. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, he's got a pool. I said, so? You should not be paying that much a month. And his bill He showed me, screenshot it, sent me his sign up for champion. I guarantee you it's going to be less. He will save thousands of dollars, and you will too. If you go to 1560energy.com, that's 1560energy.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Let's talk serious about this. A lot of men, once they are approaching the age of 40 or they pass the age of 40, there is something that just feels off. What is off? What is wrong? Well, it could be that your testosterone levels have dropped and you just don't have the same energy level you once had. Now, I can tell you this. I got a friend of mine who started using started getting testosterone treatments for the first time. He said, I heard you talking about it. I decided to do the same thing. He's now out walking every single day. He's losing weight. He said, I've never had this kind of energy at a full day of work. And at 9:30 at night, I'm out walking, losing weight so I can get to my jogging weight and I can start running. And he said, I've never had this kind of energy. This is incredible. Actually, you have had that energy before, but it was when your testosterone level was higher when you were younger. This gets you back to feeling like the real you. Get back to feeling like you did when you were in your 20s and your 30s. Men's T Clinic can help you do that. If you're low on testosterone, they'll test you. It takes just a few minutes. They'll find out where your levels are, and they'll get you started. And listen, they understand that for some of you, you already know you have low testosterone. You've gone somewhere else, and you didn't get results. Men's T Clinic will work hard to get you the results by making sure that they monitor everything they have to make sure that you are at an optimal pace and an optimal spot for your treatments for testosterone. Men'sTClinic.com, Pearland, Pasadena, Cypress, and the Heights area, Men'sTClinic.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:21 on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, being joined right now by Coach Zierlein to talk about that offensive line play and what happened on Sunday to your Houston Texans. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great. First, JJ and what he did. How much of it was Romeo scheming, and how much of it was just how much better JJ was than Wheeler?
Well, you know, JJ is a lot better than Wheeler, and when he's on like he was the other day, he's better. I mean, you can't block him. He's better than anybody. But Romeo did scheme a little bit, you know, on one sack. He loaded up one side and then you know, didn't bring the blitz from that side, but the offensive line worked that direction. And then, of course, that left Wheeler one-on-one. But other than that, you know, J.J. is so quick and so strong, and if you don't slide to him, you're going to have a hard time. And even when you slide to him, sometimes he can split it. So, you know, Romeo's done a good job scheming, but for the most part, that looked to me like it was a J.J. thing.
Yeah, do you, on the other side, so JJ had a big game. It was, look, it was an inferior right tackle. He didn't have to face double team looks a whole lot. Romeo did some things scheme-wise, but JJ also just played well. We've been a little disappointed. Now, Clowney didn't play last week, but we've been a little disappointed with Clowney, and especially Merciless. He just isn't showing up at all. And I know he came off the ACL tear, but, man, there is nothing there right now from him.
You know, the second time I watched the game, I really paid a lot of attention to him. I can remember, you know, when I was coaching still with the Cardinals or wherever I was at when he came out, I would always look at any offensive lineman who was going against him to kind of get a feel for him. And the thing you noticed about him was just tremendous quickness, acceleration, had a great inside move. But even in college, he made some plays, but he wasn't as productive as you thought he might have been. And I'm seeing that again yesterday, or rather Sunday. I see great quickness. I see a tremendous inside move. But sometimes on the inside move.
Oh, you're talking Clowney right now.
I'm talking clowning.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I was asking about Merciless. Well, go through both of them.
I have a very good volume here, guys. I can't hear you very well.
That's on our end. Go through both of those guys, actually.
Okay. Well, let me just finish up on Clowney. Yeah. And so what I'm seeing when Clowney does make that inside move is he's getting flattened out. And, you know, not much is happening. And he doesn't have great outside speed, but he doesn't use his hands real well going to the outside. And so, you know, guys just get their hands on him. Merciless, I only saw him a few times, and I see that great athletic ability, but I don't see the production in him. And I'm not 100% sure why on Merciless. He's got good explosion. He seems to have pretty good strength. He does get glued on the blockers once in a while. He almost got the edge a time or two. But neither one of those guys are producing like they need to produce, I don't think.
Larry Zierlein with us on ESPN 97.5, coach of the offensive line, was with the Steelers, won a Super Bowl ring. You had a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger that held the ball and tried to buy as much time as he possibly could, did a nice job in the pocket. Deshaun is that same kind of guy. He's holding on to the ball for a long time. How much of this is offensive line, and how much of this? Because Bill O'Brien even said it after the game. A lot of this time, we got to get rid of the ball quicker.
Yeah, Deshaun is a young quarterback who sometimes has to see a guy open before he throws the ball. Now, I'm not sure if this is going to be something that is always going to be with him. I mean, some guys have that sense of timing on when to throw, and some guys don't. And so I think it's too early right now to tell on him. But he is holding on to the ball a little bit too long. Now, in the second half, I thought he got rid of the ball better. And when he just sets and throws, he's got a big league arm, and I think he's really going to be good. But he is holding on the ball too long right now. You got a problem with the two tackles. Neither one of the tackles are really holding up. The left tackle has some problems with speed around the edge. And the other kid, Davenport, was a left tackle all of his life. And it's not as easy to go from one side to the other side as you might think. And what he's doing on the right side is his weight distribution and all those things are where they would be if he were playing on the left side. When that happens, it causes him to set out because the weight is on the right foot, which is where the weight would be if he were a left tackle. And so consequently, he's having a hard time with inside moves because the weight's on the outside. And he's also having a hard time with outside moves because his weight is stuck on the outside and he can't keep kicking. So his primary problem is technique. They lost Kelamenti inside, and there were just some strength mismatches that looked to me like they just couldn't stop the penetration. The twist also bothered him some.
Is there when you faced, you know, you have a game plan all week long when you're an offense coordinator, an offensive line coach, a quarterback. You prepare for looks. You get yourself ready. You want to run the ball, work behind the play action. That's what the Texans clearly wanted to do. It just didn't materialize early. How much of what you work on all week long, how much can that be impacted immediately and forced more into the quarterback's lap than a coach's lap when teams start to show you some, I don't know, depending on the looks that they're showing you post-snap and the way that they're disguising coverages?
Lance, I'm having a hard time hearing you here, but did you ask if the preparation matches what you see in the game?
When it doesn't, what can you do about that? Isn't that really a lot of that on the quarterback, or how can a coach impact that?
Well, here's the thing. For the most part, what you work on all week, some of it you're going to see. On third down, it's going to be different. I mean, every week they game plan differently based on what they see in your protections. So if you have a concept of you in protections, which the offensive line at the Texans does, they have a concept. So if they don't get the exact look that they've been preparing for, they should be able to adapt to that or adjust to it just by following their base concept. For instance, if it's four down, you know who the four down guys are. You know who the Mike is. Everybody's got an assignment based on that. If it's three down, you got an assignment based on that. So the adjustment in the game, a lot of that comes from experience of the players being able to say, oh, yeah, we've seen this before. Here we go. But I don't know. I didn't see that many things that were assignment busts. I'm sure there were some. You know, Betcher, I coached with him out of Arizona, the coordinator of the Giants, and he does a great job on third down attacking your protections. And, you know, they did that. He would overload one side, and he did some things like that, which was pretty good.
Actually, I think I said, yeah, Merciless was not an ACL tear. He was a pec. So that should have no impact on his quickness in terms of up the field, right?
No, Merciless no, no, peck, not I at believe. All. Nothing.
What, I'm looking at John. Wasn't he a pec tear, or was it a knee?
I think it was a knee.
Either may have missed.
Either way. All right, before we go, so is Julian Davenport a starter in the NFL?
Well, let me tell you something. He is because he is. He's starting in the NFL. There are so many guys playing in that league right now that when you evaluate him going into the draft, you say this guy can't play. But they end up playing. And Julian Davenport was not one of those guys that I thought couldn't play. I thought he had some good ability. He was well coached in high school in college. In fact, his college coach is now the line coach of Sam Houston. And so I think the guy can play, but his techniques on the right side need worked on, and I'm sure Mike Devlin is working on him. He is not a real quick-footed kid, so, you know, that's not going to be real good. But I didn't think Chad Wheeler could play either for the Giants and out of USC, and, you know, he's playing. So there's a lot of guys that you say they can't play, but they are playing.
that's the reality.
Well, there's attrition, too. I mean, look Chad Wheeler had to play because Eric Flowers couldn't play, right?
Golly, isn't that a shame? You get a number one guy who has great strength, but I saw the pass pro deficiencies at the University of Miami on him, and you know sometimes you just think, I don't know if this guy's ever going to get it because of his balance, his hands, and I wasn't real. I liked his size, I liked his strength, but I wasn't sure that he would ever pass block. Same thing with the kid that's up at the Browns now, Greg Robinson out of Auburn, and it's a shame about Flowers that he's, you know, that's the number one pick, and Wheeler is not the answer over there either.
No, they got problems as well, but we got more right here.
Yeah, you do. Yep. There are some problems, and. You know, you got to be able to stop people in the fourth quarter on those final drives. That's 2 weeks in a row now that they haven't been able to stop anybody after playing good defense.
Real quick, Dad, you and I talked about this. The Texans are in a precarious spot right now because they're 0-3. Fans are getting a little fed up with, you know, they spend their money on a Sunday. We just had a guy call in and say, this is getting to be a little bit much after 16 years. And when you have another team in the city, like really two, in the Rockets and the Astros, who are coming off a World Series, boy, it really spotlights it when you're not playing good football and the effort level is sometimes considered questionable and you keep seeing the same stuff year after year. Fans start to turn away. I know the ticket sales are still out there, but I'm telling you, there's no buzz in the city over the Texans for us right now.
Yeah, you know, Houston's like most cities. Most cities are going to gravitate to the winner. You know, fans associate with a team. They work hard all week, and they want to go out on Sunday or whatever game day is and have some success vicariously through that team. And when the team doesn't do good, then they feel like they haven't done well, and they take it out on the team. But I think Houston's one of those towns that, you know, it doesn't have a long, long, long history like Chicago or Pittsburgh or some of these other teams where they are football towns 100%. I've never had that feeling about Houston. I've felt like Houston was a town that was going to gravitate to whatever sport was winning, be it the Astros, the Rockets, or, you know, the Texans when they're winning. So, people get upset at spending their money and not seeing what they want to see.
Absolutely. And then we're seeing that now. Larry Zuerlein with us here talking Texans football on ESPN 97.5. Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There's Larry Zuerlein. And how do you drive him around when you see him?
Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC Traverse. Chevy Traverse is what I'm driving. It is a crossover vehicle, which let me tell you what the crossover vehicles have become, especially with the Chevy Traverse. I saw it side by side next to the Chevy Tahoe, and the difference is it's lowered, and it's just a little bit smaller in terms of a bit. I'm not even sure the body is any different. I think it's just lowered. I think it's just rides more like a car because it has tremendous interior space. And the Tahoe is going to be the same thing. Now, you also have the Suburban to choose from if you want to do that. You've got the GMC Yukon, which is what I drove for 5 years, and I absolutely love the Yukon, but I really love this Chevy Traverse as well. What I'm telling you is that whether it's the Chevy side or the GMC side, they've got great crossover vehicles. They've got great pickup trucks. They've got phenomenal SUVs. I mean, iconic SUVs like that Suburban that's been around forever and like that Tahoe. But I got to tell you, on the Buick side, I don't know that you're going to find better car options with in terms of classy design, interior. It's built for speed. It's built for performance. But at the same time, it has the features on the interior that make that car on the Buick side feel like home away from home. So whether it's crossover vehicles, brand new cars, pickup trucks, or SUVs, you head down to Angleton and Craig DeSerf and his crew will make sure that it ends up saving you thousands of dollars. They understand you're going out of your way to make the trip to Angleton. They're going to go out of their way for you. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
Alistar y MVP. Si necesitas un vehículo nuevo, ven a Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick and GMC. Chevy te encuentra también.
Best there in the fifth inning. Just what was the key to just holding up the one run right there?
That's a good question. Seems like it was destined to implode right there, and I was just trying to make as many quality pitches as I possibly could, and was fortunate enough to get a few swings and misses and a few soft contact swings. So. Those things can go your way real quick, or they can go against you real quick. And I was fortunate enough to kind of corral it back in and get out of it.
That was Dallas Keuchel. That did got hairy after it was 4-2. Kevin Pillar hit homer to make it 4-2 in the fourth. The Jays loaded the bases and then got a single. Solarte singled to left center, scored one run. So the Astros are up 1-4 with the bases loaded and nobody out. Smoke was the huge at bat. He got called out on looking. He struck out looking. And then Grichuk grounded to third, and J.D. Davis came home for the force, and then Pillar struck out swinging. And they got out of that inning. And then... AJ went to the bullpen, and the bullpen did a nice job all the way around. Did you hear the boos for Osuna?
No.
Oh, the whole time that he was in there.
Oh, you're talking about
last night.
Yeah.
He came in and got the save. They got a hit off of him, but he was able to get him out. But, man, AJ just seemed two-thirds, a third. Presley got an inning and did his job again. Osuna again. That was, I think it might have been Blummer. Or no, somebody said after the game, maybe it was whomever. He said, I think AJ's looking for guys that he knows for the postseason. He's getting them ready to just get an out for him because he's going to have so many pitchers available to him and more than usual because one of the starters is going to the bullpen. But apparently there was news on Charlie Morton, his shoulder, that he only pitched one inning. His wife is pregnant, and I think she's about to deliver. So I think he came back here. I think he's going to make his next start, it looks like, which is a positive.
If you care about this team, here's how it's supposed to go. God, team, and then family.
God, team, family. Yeah.
Is that what you people usually say, or is it?
It's
teams usually third? Or no, team's second, or is team first?
It, well,
if you're a non-believer, it's team.
Money.
Money over everything. How does it go?
No, it's God, family, Green Bay Packers. Okay. That was what Vince Lombardi said. Your family,
no, the Green Bay Packers. Isn't it God, money, Packers, family?
No.
Is this?
No. Well, family should be lower on the list. I agree.
Yeah, right.
No. But if we're changing it up. Yeah, Jim Valvano saw him speak at a banquet, and his first job was at Johns Hopkins, I think. And when he took the job, you know, they won three games the year before, and they said, "Yeah, but we've got everybody back." And he was like, "Oh, great." And and he said his first speech, you know, he had heard Vince Lombardi, and it was God, family, and the Green Bay Packers, and he was so pumped to give his first ever speech before. Then he's about to go out with John Hopkins, and he gives his speech, and he says, "Come on, guys, let's go, and this is all about God, family, and the Green Bay Packers." And they were like looking at him. Oh, just go out and play.
Dale, how do you rank them? Where does it go for you? Is it money, like
God, family, team? Where is it?
Well, it's money over everything,
right? I figured.
Oh,
and then God, then Hurricanes football,
right?
Then my Florida family.
What?
Then Pizza King. Then my New Jersey family.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Oh, you got New Jersey fam?
Well, they're from my dad's side, and I don't care for them so much. So.
I thought Florida family meant just whoever you hang out with on Reddit pages.
No. I thought you only heard from them like when they have a wedding and they invite you, and you're like, why would I want to go?
Or they're planning some surprise party. And
so
they're
below
need me
Pizza
to,
King?
Way below Pizza King. They're below Double Dave's, in fact. Double Dave's gave me my first job. They're way below Double, and they still have great pepperoni rolls. Double Dave's gave me my first job, so that automatically
puts
me.
Where are they with Subway?
Well, janky ass Subway.
Ass Subway.
Subway gives me less agita and less stomach cramp, so Subway is above them too.
Wow, so that's just Jersey
family. Jersey family. The Jersey family will call and go.
The Florida family's still below the Hurricanes.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Moms.
Well, moms is different. That's moms.
Well, no. She's
moms
family.
Moms is always separate. You don't ever put anyone over moms.
Moms is family.
But no,
where
moms
do I fall on the list now?
Oh, moms and then family.
Moms then family. Then, yeah.
Well, wait. Is moms ahead of the Hurricanes? She better be.
Don't depends on what that type of season they're having. To be honest with you.
right now, moms is ahead.
Yeah,
but if they rip off like eight in a row, then she might take a step down. That's all. just
and where's dad in this one?
He's part of that New Jersey family.
Oh. He's probably frankly a pain in the ass when he comes to town. He wants you making doctor appointments for him.
Yeah, I got to drive. Like last time I picked him up from the airport, it was like 6 a.m. at Bush. What? I think I want to get up on a Sunday at 6 a.m. or before that and go pick him up.
What the bleep?
Yeah, so he's part of that family because I got a call. Go, hey, we're planning like a 70th birthday for your dad. Do you want to go to Nigeria for us? Like.
No, I'm good.
But you can't say that over the phone. You're like, oh, I'll think about it.
Yeah, all right.
You should just say, for what?
My dad's going to be here. I'll wish him happy birthday while he's here. I'm not going to Nigeria in like February for his birthday.
Yeah, I'll get him the tie here. We got plenty of ties.
His dad's like, I have magazines I love more than you.
I'm going to need you to stop doing my dad's accent. He doesn't have magazines. It would be a mail order bride catalog.
No, I was going just magazines. Yeah. It's just generic magazines.
It's not magazines. It's mail order bride catalog.
I think he loved his magazine. His mail order bride magazine.
Oh, they were real. He had multiple.
Catalog? Did he really?
Yeah.
That story is one of the most unbelievable stories.
Yeah. All right. Let's catch up. We're still not caught up. Why don't you save people money?
Well, let me tell you something right now. So... With Bill Advisor, there is I tell you about the bills like cell phone, home phone, internet, and satellite, and all that stuff. And that's one element of their savings that they have, and you need to take advantage of that. Here's the other one, and both of them are available to you for just $12.99 a month. Here's the other one: if you text money to 23, 23, 23, An automated system will text you right back, say what's your address, you give it to them, and within seconds, they're going to give you a homeowner's insurance quote. Now, you may think, well, that can't be accurate if it's that fast. Actually, it is. It's based on information that's already available within their system about the age of your home, the size, any updates, same kind of stuff HCAD gets, the appraisal district, they're going to have the same stuff. But the great thing is that when you get this, it's going to be within plus or minus $100. So you're getting a very, very accurate quote. And if you want to, if you, like me, were so surprised at how much lower it was and what I was paying, I decided to up my insurance to really the value of my home because it had been the same. I'd had the house insured for the same amount that when I bought it. Well, that my house is, you know, has gone up in terms of the value of the home. So I added $100,000 worth of insurance, homeowner's insurance, and I still save $700 for the year. Get your savings today with my good friends over at Bill Advisor. Text money to 232323 and see how much they can save you on your homeowner's insurance and car insurance today. BillAdvisor.com.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, time to talk about mybookie.ag. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio, they're going to match 100% of your first deposit. It's so much fun. It's so easy to use. There's so many options. So many. You just think to yourself, well, I don't know. Ohio State is going to come back and just kick their ass in the second half. Well, wait a minute. I can make money on that. I know this is going to happen, so I'm going to make money on it. Well, there you go. If you don't have MyBookie.ag, you don't have this option. It's so easy to use. And then there's so many other things as well. You like fantasy football? You know a guy is going to, oh, that's a terrible matchup for him. Well, let me go under fantasy points then. Okay, that's a great matchup for him. Let me go over fantasy points for him then. And you can do that as well. So all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, start playing, get match up the first deposit 100% right now at mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So your Houston Rockets were back at it. Yesterday, media day, Tillman Fertitta, you agree or disagree? Tillman Fertitta. Now we got James Harden talking about this. So we're going to hear James Harden on this, but Tillman Fertitta said that anything short of the Western Conference Finals is a disappointing season.
Yep. Agree. Well, I mean, that's such a, no, I think it's a, that whole disappointing season, I don't like that phrase, but I think it's a dis. I would just say it's a dis. Coming up short of the Western Conference Finals would be a disappointment. I'd rather phrase it like that because I don't want to marginalize right. The whole season. But coming up short,
right.
You were there. You've taken. If you don't get there, you've taken a step back.
Right, I get that.
And you added this amazing talent in Carmelo, who we've heard all about for years and years, how incredible he is, and I'm expecting him to get you a ring now because Carmelo's that good. Apparently, that's all I've heard about is how good Carmelo is. So we'll see.
But I thought James Harden was better in that he said this.
When you was making it to the Western Conference Finals, all you hear is you guys had a great season. You guys will be good next year. Like you hear that all summer, and I'm tired of hearing.
I didn't really understand him, but it said something to the effect of that it's disappointing to lose to. It is a little disappointing to lose in the Western Conference
Finals. Tired of hearing that they had a great season.
Yeah, tired of hearing it was a great season because they lost in the Western Conference Finals. Well, you know, 0 for 27, James. Maybe you could hit a couple. That'd be great. But
that wasn't. And Trevor Ariza didn't help you much.
No, 0 for 12. But. Mike D'Antoni, I mean, Daryl Morey, so we're right there. Mike D'Antoni says, you know, we're right there with the Warriors. Okay, all of that. I think anything short of an NBA title, and right now, where this team is, anything short of an NBA title is disappointing.
Anything short of an NBA title is disappointing?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't feel like that, but maybe my expectations are not. I got news for you.
Wasn't it disappointing last year?
My expectations when they're up,
but they're up,
not as high.
They were up 3-2. Wasn't it disappointing last year to lose that series?
Yeah, but there was some. I mean, we had a butt.
Well, no, there's no butt.
We had a.
You have 0-20 freaking 7.
Yes, yeah,
that's okay. You had a lead in both of those games, and you went 0-27.
You know, that's true. Let's not use those excuses. Everyone has to go through adversity. That's true. You had opportunities. That's the easy cop out that I just did. Well, you're a hamstring injury away and hammy.
No.
You were like you're like 2 made 3s away from winning, or 3 made 3s.
3 made 3s. That's all. Out of 27. Mm-hmm. The odds against them were like 100 million to 1.
Right
to
now,
do
people
that.
On SportsMap are like, "Yeah, keep going."
Yeah,
no, I'm almost finished, and I'm like, "No, if you want to finish the
we're
drive.
Edging closer."
No, I just finished the drive because the guy's almost at work right now. What?
Keep going,
what are y'all
keep
talking
going?
About?
Going.
Yeah, I'm almost finished with
Goodbye.
My drive. I want to hear where this rocket talk is wrapping up. Then come back to 97.5.
Oh.
That's what that was. That's
you're getting
that's
closer
what
and closer. You're edging closer and closer to 97.5.
Who did that, Dell? Was it you or Raheel?
I explained to him what it meant.
So it's you.
But he hasn't let it go.
So it's you. So it is
I
on
said
you.
It once. What?
Then you need to get
hey,
your man.
When
mans,
you know the definition of a word,
you
use it.
You need to come get
it.
Your mans because my it man. Is you.
Expanded my vocabulary,
I simply
Dell.
Explained to him what it meant, and then he would not let it go.
What? Let it go? I'm using it. I'm using all my words.
No, you won't let it go.
Now I've expanded my vocabulary.
In fact, you're edging with the word edging.
Whoa.
You won't ever finish.
I'm edging.
You won't ever. You're not ever going to be done with it.
I might be.
We'll see.
You don't know. You don't know what's going
on
in my life.
I'm glad I don't know what's going on in your life or your special place, as you called it yesterday. His special place.
8:56. Let's catch up because Raheel's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. We apologize, but we went long with Coach Zuerlein, which is
like
a good thing.
Would you like to visit John's special place, Dale?
No. I'm visiting.
No, it's just a place where you watch TV and have drinks.
That's not my special place.
Even if you explain it that way, the answer would still be no.
I'm not going there either. not by myself. And let's talk Renters Warehouse right now. Let's talk about our man Rich Drake. And I had said earlier, I think, you know, Rich Drake is still a man, and I'm positive he is.
No, he is, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. His name's Rich. Okay.
Well, we know other people.
Well, here's the deal. Is Renters Warehouse is awesome for you because you get to make the choice. You get to make the choice on the renters. Okay, you get to pick the people that are going to be living in your home. You get to make the choice of keeping that asset as opposed to selling that asset. When you build assets, you build, and this is the key to this thing. Let someone else pay your mortgage. Now you still own the home. They're the ones that are just wasting money paying off your mortgage while you are keeping the asset, and then you can resell that at any time. You'll be able to sell that after it's all paid off. Do you know how much? And if your house is paid off already, it's just pure profit. So either you use it for the mortgage or you use it to just put in your pocket at Renters Warehouse. RentersWarehouse.com. RentersWarehouse.com.
It's great. It really is great.
You get to pick. It's your choice at renterswarehouse.com. Just $99 a month. Multiple properties, less than that. You can go as low as $80 a month. Renterswarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.